He who learns must suffer, and even in our sleep, pain that cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart. And in our own despair, against our will, comes wisdom to us by the awful grace of God. Through Holy Week so far, we've been reflecting on this quote, different parts of it. And today we come to the part that says, in our own despair, against our will, comes wisdom. In our own despair, that is our lack of hope, or the feeling of being alone and or helpless, feeling that everything is wrong or everything is broken, and feeling like it can't be fixed. And maybe it's not so much against our will, but it's definitely despite our will. Because as St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. That wisdom comes to us in our despair because God loved us in our sin and died for us. See, in Adam's despair in the garden, he hid himself from God and he covered up his shame. But then he despaired even before that fall, because it was only in despair, in a lack of hope, that he even took from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he took it for himself. In one of the acts of repentance, one of the sins that is kind of laid out for reflection is, "Forgive me, Lord, for the sin of grasping." The sin of grasping. Because that is the temptation in despair, is to take back control. Because we feel helpless, we feel alone, and so we grasp at something, at anyone, at anything, to feel like we have control again. That was Adam and Eve in the garden. They forgot God and they grasped at what they could take for themselves in their despair. But the wisdom of the cross, the wisdom that comes to us, is that we are able to see as God sees, that he goes where nobody else will, that he descends into hell, that the perfect becomes imperfect, that the all-holy becomes lowly, that Jesus emptied himself for our sake. This is what is the stumbling block for the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, is that God become flesh, would enter to the lowliest places of human existence and there meet man in his despair. But it's still foolishness to people. One of the favorite questions to ask a priest is, are you really serious that somebody can be bad their whole life and on their deathbed, they can ask for forgiveness and God will forgive them? It seems like cheap grace to most people. That's not earned. How can that be that they can spend all of this time living in sin and in a moment, everything is forgiven? Well, what we remember is Jesus was not absent in their life up until that moment. He was with them in their hell. And it's at the moment of their repentance that they acknowledge that he was with them the whole time, even in their despair. There's a way of understanding the story of the prodigal son that comes from the early church fathers, that the prodigal son is actually, in fact, Jesus. Not that he willingly rejected the father, but that he became the prodigal son, the one who became alienated from the father as he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That he takes on that place where we are far away from the Father's house. But then he brings us back home. Jesus enters the lowliest place. He goes to the places that even we do not want to go and cannot imagine going. And so today we look on the one whom we have pierced, that his response to our despair is to enter into that despair, to open himself up, to welcome us into the midst of that, that he makes himself the one who is alone, alone on the cross, the one who bears our iniquities, as we hear. He's the one who's helpless, crucified, nailed to a tree. And in his solitude and in his helplessness, in his forsakenness, he redeems us. So that when we are hopeless, that when we feel helpless and alone, when everything feels broken and unfixable, Jesus is there.